This is a Broad Pods production.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, I'm Danny Riley.
And I'm Dan Riley, and together we run Manor Made.
In this podcast, we have decided that we wanted to dive a little bit deeper into some of the things that mean more to us that we weren't able to share within the web series. We've got a little bit more time up our sleeves. We're going to have some killer guests in throughout the series, some amazing experts, and really talk about what's important to us on the journey to build our dream home. For Dan and I, building a home that was as sustainable as possible was our number one priority. So in each episode, we will also highlight these features as a standalone topic. We know that the most important part of a house is when it actually becomes your home. So in each episode of the pod, Dan and I will be giving you a sneak peek into these intimate spaces that made our house a home for us. Hey guys, welcome back to All Manner of Things. So excited you can join us again today. Make sure you've caught yourself up, listen to all the pods before this episode. And of course, if you want to binge everything, go nuts. You can also binge the web series. The link is in the show notes. Now we're up to episode 3, Dan.
Episode 3. There's a bit going on. There's a lot of subfloor insulation going in, which is a must if you've got a subfloor.
It felt like it took forever.
Put them in.
Yes.
I didn't take too long.
Oh, it felt like it took forever. I mean, I didn't physically do it, but I watched it and it looked like it took forever.
And one thing we put in most homes now was hydronic heating. I love that we got to do it in our own home.
Yeah.
Not only just in the slab, but also in the subfloor, which not a lot of people know you can do with the heat emission plates.
That's it. So we worked with DPP Hydronic Heating for our hydronic heating. And our particular system, whilst it is run currently on gas, which is purely for budget reasons when we were doing this home, it is ready to convert to electric heat pump system once that technology is, available for us from a budgetary perspective. Of course, let's not forget about the floor shield insulation that we used in the subfloor. Now, the home is finished, shokara, and it is so nice when you walk on that floor and know that it is so well insulated, not only from an acoustic level, but also from a heat retention level. So we're able to really heat our home as efficiently as we possibly can in the current climate.
And something you could do if you can get under your existing home, check if it is insulated. If it isn't, it's a pretty cheap option just to get under there or pay someone to crawl under and install the insulation.
Yeah.
It's going to save you so much money on your energy bills.
It will save you. We've lived in homes, older homes, that have a timber subfloor, and the heat loss that we've experienced in the winter is unbelievable.
Yes.
Even if you rent, we actually proposed that to one of our landlords one time.
We would pay to do it
just because we could do it ourselves and we knew the difference it would make on our electricity bills. Mm. Well, today, Dan, on the back of our very strong sustainability theme that we've had threaded through the build of the home and also this podcast, I wanted to take the opportunity in this particular episode to focus on that a little bit more. So we have a very special guest. We have Darren Parker from Greenest House. Darren founded Greenest House to help engage, educate and empower the industry, individuals and also families to build better homes as we slowly but definitely surely move towards net carbon zero homes. Darren has a team of some pretty incredible ESD consultants who have worked on many, many projects, and we're so excited to have him in the studio today. Thank you, Darren, for coming
in. Thank you guys for inviting us. It's really good to be here.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Now, Darren, straight off the bat, what you do, your role within the home design and creating the most ideal living environment for a home. Can you talk us through that and when the best time is to engage someone like yourself in a build?
Sure. It's a good point that you mentioned when.
Yes.
The industry has very much been the thermal comfort assessor is given the design process when it's not fluid anymore at the end of the design process. And we really then can only upgrade certain things. The design process is not fluid at that stage. Yeah. And, you know, you guys have probably experienced this. You spend many hours and months with your client and they don't want to start to go back to the drawing board and change zoning and stuff. So right at the beginning, we personally at Greenest House like to meet with the person and to hop on site and to have a look at what we've got there right at the very beginning, see what free things we can gain from that site. Mm-hmm. Perhaps some challenges on that site, you know. Does it have an overshadowing building next door? We want to try and work with the elements on site and not just throw it, you know, in an inordinate amount of money at it. We want to sort of work with that and do it in a cost-effective way. Right at the beginning. Who the people are, what do they want from this home? You know, what is sustainability to this person or to this family?
That's a really interesting thing to say. What is sustainability to a particular person?
Yes.
Because we might have something, but that might only be just scratching the surface of what's possible.
Some people, it's two chooks and a goat, and they love goat's cheese, and I love goat's cheese too.
I love that.
But, you know, to other people, it's more. If you're, some people, it's an electric car and EV and things like that. So it's very soon after that point where really the building designer, we like to sort of get them involved.
Yep.
And to start to put this, the best home they've ever lived in, together.
Yep. Yeah. Guide that process.
Darren, would an example of that be an orientation of the home and certain living spots?
That's exactly right. Orientation is the biggest free thing we can possibly get. Mm. And it's a challenge with these tiny blocks that they're giving us now, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
And I think this is a big challenge with Seven Star. You know, the blocks are getting smaller. Mm. You know, in the past, they've always said, you know, have the north on the long side of the block. But, you know, the houses, the gutters are touching now almost.
Yeah.
You know? And really we want ideally north in the backyard, you know, because that's where the living areas are going to probably end up. Yeah. And of course, we live in Australia. We want to be connected to that backyard. But to try and find a block like that is harder. It's getting harder, guys. It's a challenge.
What blew my mind about the Blair Gary house that we've just finished building or the web series we're doing on is the difference a shroud made on a window to our thermal rating. And I guess a shroud probably acts like an eave where in summer it shades the window, but in winter, the sun's, you know, it's letting the sun through.
Yeah, that's right. And I think you make a good point there. It's we have, in the country we live here in Australia, we've got to think winter and summer.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're looking at heat gain in the summertime and heat loss in the wintertime. Mm. And it's a challenge to do that passively. It's a very clever thing to do. What you're asking the home to do is to catch the heat but stop it from escaping.
Yep.
And then in summertime to do the opposite. Mm. And I think the point you make there by having shrouds, it's something that's adjustable.
Yes.
So if you can't get that north aspect where the sun does that adjustment for you, the sun obviously rises higher in the summertime and those northerly pieces of glass don't cop that summer sun. But if you can't get that, well, then adjustable shading or sun control, because let's face it, we want the west sun in wintertime. We want east. We want as much sun as we possibly can, but we just don't want it in summer.
That's a great point, Darren, because we've got this massive window in our sunken lounge and it's sort of northwest.
Yep. Yep.
And in winter, that light just beams in and it warms up the room. But
to the point of it gets pretty hot
in
there.
Winter.
Yeah.
But we wanted something more. We knew in summer you wouldn't be able to be in that room, so we put external Venetians on.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that works perfectly.
Being able to control them depending on, you know, where the sun is at.
The key word there was external. I think some people think, oh, you pull down the blind, but once the heat is in the home, it's in the home.
It's in the home.
You've got a convection current happening and you hold your hand up the top of that window.
Yeah.
Glass is a wonderful thing. You know, if you've got that million-dollar view, you've got to take advantage of that. But you need to treat it with respect and understand that that piece of glass is it's not as good as what we can, you know, get within our wall systems and things like
Which
that.
Which was a challenge for us because we've got so much glazing on site. Yeah. We couldn't just do your normal double glazing. We had to go one extra and have thermally broken aluminium windows just to try to get our energy rating. And I think that's an important point for everyone out there.
Definitely. People don't realise, you know, if you've got a hot day, an extreme hot day, 42, 45 degrees in the shade, okay,
that, jeez, that aluminium, is a hot day. Yeah,
that aluminium frame, right, if you touch it, if it's in the shade, is the same temperature.
Yeah.
If the sun is shining on that and it's a black frame, that frame could be 65 degrees. It could be the same. You've ever put your hand on a hot piece of aluminium.
Yep.
So that is a heater. That is a radiator that now that your air conditioning is working against. So, and this is why PVC is, you know, and timber windows, they just stop. Aluminium is such a good conductor of heat.
Yeah.
And so thermally broken, what that does, it just stops that heat transfer through. So well done, guys. I'm sure the people that are going to live in that home will appreciate those thermally
broken
windows.
The double glazed thermally broken windows. Excellent. I'm going to cycle back just a little bit. Darren, can you share with us what your exact role in this whole process actually is?
I originally started in this industry back in early 2000s when sustainability first came into this industry. So predominantly we've been involved in my original company that I still run is Energy Raiders, and it's very much a compliance minimum standard.
Yep.
Here's the design, make it comply,
yep.
Stamp it so that we can put the permits in.
Yep.
But
which I feel is just, that's the assumption that people make of what is required now.
That's exactly right.
But people are keen and eager for
that's
more.
Right. That's exactly right. And even the industry is heading towards whole of home.
Yep.
So just before COVID hit, we just saw the need for a more of a consultative whole of home approach. The sister company that I'm most excited about, because minimum compliance is not sexy.
No.
It's definitely.
Minimum. It's minimum. Exactly.
A 6-star home is the worst home you're allowed to build.
Yeah. Such a good way of putting it, isn't it?
Isn't it a good way of putting it?
They spruik the stars out there and you know, we all, it's nice to stay in a 5-star hotel, isn't it? And when you hear 6 stars, you think, oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a good home.
But I remember when the shift to 6-star came in anyways.
Mm. So Greenest House was set up to be more a consult. We're looking at more livability.
Mm-hmm.
So it encompasses a few more things than just sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like resilience.
Mm.
You look at climate shock now and you know, we want to be connected to our backyards and to the outside, and glass is a wonderful product to do that. But there's certain days we need protection from the outside.
Mm.
And the grid is going to go down more and more, and we're seeing it worldwide.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're going to have to hunker down and into our homes. So we want our homes to be able to, you know, can you live in your home for 3 days without power? There's a question. If you've got a lot of west-facing glass, could you stay in that home or would you have to vacate it?
Mm.
So these are sorts of things that we consider. We look at health and biophilic and, you know, it's nice to have a show, you know, a very clinical show home, and we've all seen them with the, you know, the two-pack white, you know, they look absolutely stunning, but to have some textures, some timber,
nice.
You know, some concrete, some rammed earth, all this sort of stuff. So we have a real mindset of livability first and then wow factor second.
Okay,
And I think if we look at how it's normally gone, and this is the biggest challenge we have, is wow factor comes in first. You know, they look at that beautiful Byron Bay home that lives in that perfect climate zone that never gets below, above 25 and never gets
windows.
Below. Exactly. Yeah. Like, and they want to build that in Sorrento.
Mm. Guilty at first.
I know.
Guilty at first.
Windows everywhere.
I know.
But then I was educated.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the building designers are struggling with this too, because families, you know, they're conditioned with, you know, the block and Home Beautiful and all this wow, Facebook and Pinterest.
Mm.
And they come to the building designer and they lay all this out before, this is what we like and this is what we want. And unfortunately, it looks great.
Yeah.
But I have seen some disasters and people that just can't live in their home.
Yeah, right.
But on certain days, you take the photo, they look fantastic.
Right. Yeah, that's it.
So, Darren, do you also take into account the landscape
sustainability
to help the home?
Yes, certainly. Obviously, you know, we talked about adjustable sun control of the windows. If you didn't want to have something that, you know, was mechanical or an element, you wanted to perhaps go a tree that loses its leaves in wintertime, mm-hmm. okay? So, again, we don't want any sun in our home come the middle of summer. So if you've got a beautiful tree out there on that west, outside that west window that is shading it, but then it loses its leaves through the winter, and then as the sun starts to set through the winter, you're on that west side of north, you're getting that beautiful winter sun, winter west. So if it's done right, trees and landscaping can be a really good, and then there's water and things like that. Bringing birds, native birds, it's a big subject, but from a sustainability and the home, there's some really good options for us.
And that's probably a really good tip for our listeners out there. If you're in an existing home and you are struggling with those summer days, can you plant a deciduous tree to block that sun out?
That's right, some grapevines.
Yeah, or some vines. Yeah.
Yep.
That's it. Now, you mentioned about the 6-star being the best. What was
the worst home you're allowed to build in Australia?
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to use that saying. Yeah.
So it's minimum standard. With the baseline shift to 7-star, when is that coming into effect and what is that going to mean?
All right. Good question. That's a big question. That's loaded. Another podcast. Yeah. The COAG, all the governments have got together and they've decided that, yes, they're heading off to 7-star.
Shocking.
They've agreed.
Yeah. Shocking.
And this is the problem we face in the industry. Domestic is state-based. Commercial is federal. So the NCC, they can't water it down. The states can't water it down. It's in the NCC. Commercial is easy. When you get comes into residential now, you've got, BASICs in New South Wales. You've got star ratings in... So, and then each state will have their own.
Is that because of climate?
I just think that's law. That's politics.
Yeah, politics.
That's what it is, unfortunately. Yeah. So, to answer your question, they've agreed on it. Some have, most of them have said we're going to have a year transition into this. So, at the moment, I think Victoria, Queensland are a year. I think Tasmania is 3 years, maybe a transition. So, don't quote me on that, guys. It's because it's still only just sort of happening. What we're waiting for here in Victoria is really for the VBA to give us that practice note, or it's called something different now.
Yeah.
Just to see exactly what that looks like, and we don't really know yet. Yeah. But it will be 7-stars.
Yep.
And of course there's a whole of home that's going to be attached to that now.
Yeah, right.
So do you want me to just to clarify a little bit of, I think people think a 6-star home is about everything in the home, but it's not. It's,
no.
Yeah. It's just about the building fabric and the passive design of that home. It's technical, the star rating, its technical term is called a thermal comfort assessment.
Okay.
So it's just how comfortable you're going to be in that home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done with some very clever software that models the sun every hour of the day, every day of the year. And it's working out when you need to put on that air conditioner or when you need to put on that heater. And the higher the star value, the less times you have to put on a heater and put on a cooler. The star rating has been a very good tool for the industry. So now we're going to whole of home. So we're looking at now some of the appliances.
Wow.
Mainly the appliances that are in the NCC at the moment. So it'll be heating and cooling, hot water service.
Yep.
So a carbon budget is being introduced. What will happen is we'll model the home. The tool then will know that whether it's a good home, whether it needs the heater on a lot or whether it needs the cooler on a lot. And then you add in the appliances and what the star rating of those or how efficient those appliances would be.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the tool now knows that you might need to have a better or a more efficient heater or cooler.
Okay.
If you want to have gas, and here's another subject, you might need to, because that's a carbon intensive fuel. I know we've all been encouraged to go to gas, there's a change there happening too.
Yeah.
But maybe we then need to make up for that. And the easiest way is perhaps to put a solar photovoltaic system or some solar panels on the roof to make up for that. So this is what's going to basically be introduced over this next year. I think at the moment it's not compulsory, but I think by this time next year, some states we will be looking at whole of home 7-star.
So really, if we're starting a design and planning of a home now, we should be ultimately considering that that's going to be the outcome by the time.
I think you're silly if you don't at least allow for some of these things. If you're not designing a solar-friendly roof into your design now, I think that's so silly. I know in 5 years' time, when you've got your electric car, you're either looking for two types of homes, one that has solar or ones that can take solar.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't want to buy petrol anymore.
No.
Yeah. I want to generate my fuel for free.
Yep.
So solar. So even though that's not here yet, I really encourage building designers, builders to now to start to think hips and valleys. They're
gone.
The enemy. And,
flat roofs.
And they look so ugly too. And quite often you'll see the solar panels go in around, you know, because it's, you know, they're square and we've got these triangle pieces in our roofs. And it can look quite ugly in my, you know.
Yeah.
So a nice area that's left alone, no services, no vent pipes
coming out,
you know, and then the solar panels have to go around that. So we really encourage our building designers that we work with to nominate that on the plan to say, hey, this roof space here is for future
provisioning,
solar.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
So, and then pre-wiring too.
It costs about $450, I think, the installers get to run that wire through.
Bugger all.
Yeah.
What would it cost on site? $90? What would your electrician charge you to wire that through the rough end?
Yeah.
It's an hour, you know.
Right. So why not give that to the client now?
And we do that on our projects anyway.
Well, most of them have solar now.
That's great.
I do have one overarching concern around all of this. I mean, we've already seen what's happened to the cost of building over the last 18 months, 40%-ish thereabout increase to the cost of construction. What do you think is going to happen to that as we move to that minimum 7-star rating?
Cost-wise?
Because I think notoriously people go in with the best intention to have the most sustainable, the most passive, the most this, the most that home, and where the things that compromise on first are those things that aren't a necessity because they are traditionally more expensive. Yep. So what do you see happening there?
That's a really good question. I know there's sort of two points to that aspect. I think the mentality or a lot of the mentality that we've inherited and what has got us through is that we go back to this minimum compliance or just to get it to comply.
Yeah.
So particularly with some of the volume builders, you know, they've got all these products designed, they pick the design off the shelf and they fit them, if it fits on the block physically, they spec, if it's facing the wrong way, it doesn't matter, you just put more insulation in there, you double glaze it, and that adds cost.
Yeah.
So if you're just leaving it to the end of the design process, it will be costly. Guaranteed.
So that is the point. It's thinking about it before you're even really doing a floor plan scenario.
Exactly right. We wanted to really hammer this point home because we see in the industry a lot of pushback.
Yeah.
And it is a challenge. I do feel for them. But we need to put the right type of homes on the right block. And I'll just give you an example. We were involved in a project in Albury-Wodonga, so up on the border there, in a place called Barranduda. It's a little satellite suburb outside of Wodonga. And we built an 8-star home with no double glazing.
Wow.
With no double glazing?
No double glazing.
Wow.
It won Master Builders Best Display Home Northeast Victoria. And we also won another design. When I say we, it was a partnership, guys, we talked about collaboration.
Yeah.
It's a very important thing. So we also won Best Sustainable ESD Design for Design Matters, which is...
Nice job.
So my message or the answer to that question, if you put the right home on the right site, it will be cheaper.
Right.
Single glazing. And for our listeners out there who don't know Wodonga, they have extremes. Heat and cold.
Yeah.
Extremes. Yeah. Almost Europe-like.
That's exactly right. It is freezing in the winter and it is stinking hot in the summer.
That is phenomenal.
Single glazing.
So really determining, getting on site before there's even a concept in place, understanding the site-specific conditions, which, I mean, an architect or a building designer would need to anyway, but then it's about coming together in a collaborative sense, working out the elements that need to go into the design to be achieving this and maximising that particular dwelling on the site.
Mm. I think we've just added another step to our process.
I've just had a brain explosion.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so really then, theoretically, if we adopted that process, the build shouldn't be any more expensive.
You know, that's a big call. And no, I don't feel it should be. It certainly is not as bad as what some people are crying.
Sure.
And it's because they want to continue to put any home on any site. Mm-hmm. That is just not where Seven Star is. And unfortunately, whether you agree with it, whether you disagree with it, that is the situation that we're in. We need to do it smarter.
I mean,
look at cost of electricity and it's going up again. So it's going to keep going up.
This is another good point actually about cost. Mm. You know, you look at what OH&S has done to the industry. It's added cost, hasn't it?
Yes.
To the big time.
Big time.
And that's great. It's given our subcontractors a safer workplace and that, you know. But the client really, they've got the same home.
Mm.
They've paid for it. Sustainability. There's more return on investment.
Wow.
It's paying for itself. Now, it might take a longer time. And again, you know, we looked at double glazing. Wodonga City Council had some nice information there, and their feedback was double glazing has a 30-year return on investment. So double glazing takes 30 years to pay for itself.
So if you don't see yourself being in the home for 30 years, why would you put it in?
Well, we just thought, well, okay, there's 30 years. If we could then get away with single glazing and save that money and put it into a photovoltaic that has a return on investment of 4 years.
What was that? Sorry, yeah.
Solar panels on the roof.
Yeah.
When I say PV, industry technical term.
Yeah.
Solar panels, I'm not talking about a battery, just straight solar.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to sit down with an ESD consultant that can perhaps give you, the building designer and the client, the information for them to make the decision. Now, it's not wrong. I don't recommend that you build something with no double glazing. It was really to prove a point.
Point proven.
I saved money doing it, it was a win-win for me.
Yeah.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Now, to play the devil's advocate a little bit here, I could foresee a time where this is all well and good. We engage someone like yourselves very early on in that process. How is it going to work with a client who has, they have their vision, they know what they want, and they're not really prepared to be flexible around that overall vision?
Yeah.
Do you see that being a hurdle? Like, do you see that happening?
Yeah, it's a massive hurdle when it was about the client being conditioned when they rock up on the building designer's doorsteps. I think really we have a responsibility, and well done, guys, to communicate the win-win situation we're in. And we've never been in a situation where there is a win-win for it. The cost effectiveness, the return on investment, the planet, our families, the industry. So, I think it's a great time to be alive, to be quite honest, in my industry.
I love that. I love your passion. I think that's...
There's a shift in the industry.
There is a shift in the industry.
Yeah.
But I think that's a very good point that you make.
But how do we communicate this? And so well done, guys, for these types of podcasts and this communication method is what we need.
Yeah.
So even the CSIRO are looking at how can we communicate the benefits?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, what's in it for me?
That's really
where, unfortunately, that's what motivates most of us, and sometimes me.
The key learning around this, though, the common goal is to build the ideal outcome for the client, and I guess typically we've only ever really looked at that from the design of the home, but it includes those basic elements, or what we would consider basic: solar, the thermal efficiencies, all of those types of things, plus how the home actually looks and sits on the site. But it's actually much more than that, really, because this is part of the goal of achieving an environment for someone to live in that is the best it can possibly be through the design of the home, which includes this pre-step again.
Mm. We want to build dwellings that will give back more than what they take. Over the life of the home, they will give back. If they created a carbon budget to be built, and we talked about, you know, concrete is a tough product to use because it is such a high
dirty.
Carbon. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But it's changing. The industry's changing.
Yeah.
But if you look at the benefits of concrete slab, a concrete slab can be a battery.
Yeah.
A hot water service can be a battery. I think it's probably in line with more cost. Prepare your home ready for a battery, but at the moment, what's a battery? 12, 15, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It is a lot of money.
But what about a hot water service that is charged? And if you look at our hot water service, it's the most, you know, it's one of our really high energy users in the home,
of
the most, you know, heating
are.
And cooling and hot water.
Yeah.
If we can have that heating up through the middle of the day when that sun is generating rays into our solar panels. That then stores that energy for when we get home from work, we have showers and what else. So it's a bit like a battery.
Yeah.
Same with our concrete slabs. If we can actually face our glass north and we've got a concrete slab, the sun comes through that glass, it warms up our slab.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a battery. It's charging.
Mm-hmm.
The sun goes down here in Mel 5:30 in wintertime and you know as soon as that sun,
cold.
You can feel the cold, can't you? Well, that slab now will start to radiate the heat back into that zone. And you might not have to put your heater on until perhaps 7 o'clock that night instead of 6 o'clock. You know, it may not be a lot, just depends on how much charge you can get.
Over the course of the season, that's quite a number of hours.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Right.
So, Darren, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. Say, for example, someone is building a home. They've missed the boat in terms of you being able to have that whole of home experience.
Yeah.
What are the key things that, you know, where can their money go to really maximize the efficiency of the home?
Yep. That's sort of how long is a piece of string. I think what we do is we'll measure the home. And this is where your thermal comfort assessor or your energy rater will come in. He'll measure the home. He should then look at both winter and summer, where is the Achilles heel of this home? Okay, we can't always get that perfect site and that perfect orientation. So you might have a home that perhaps after, you know, if you've gone down the process that it's a very strong summertime home. It's going to be great to live in summer, but it's going to be cold in wintertime. Mm. The best bang for your buck dollar-wise would be to concentrate then on the winter side.
Yeah.
It's not just a matter of keep on going around there, double glaze that window, calculate, tick, smiley face, no, do another one.
Yeah.
And this is the importance of getting a good thermal comfort assessor that can identify the weak point and then concentrate on fixing that. If it's in Queensland, it would be reflective foil. We're trying to stop sun. If it's in Melbourne or southern states, it's more bulk insulation and insulating glass. And
can I throw one out there?
Yep.
Is colour a big one of the exterior?
Colour's a big one because it doesn't cost any money, does it, to go, you know, if
and
you want pink or blue or
colour
whatever.
Colour of the roof.
Definitely. So if you're here in Melbourne, we would like dark colours.
Yes.
If your site was a bit of a challenge for getting that north sun, maybe some darker colours would be an option.
Yep.
You've got to be careful too. Sometimes things can work against you. And we talked about slabs being heated up and thermal mass.
I want to talk about that again. We'll get back to that.
Yeah, you don't want it to heat up. So you know how we wanted to encourage, welcome the sun in the wintertime?
Winter. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you don't want to welcome it in the summer because imagine charging that battery that we referred to.
On a hot day.
And then the sun goes down and that heat that is radiating back into that. That's the last thing you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you had a north wall, if you had a dark colour, you know that the sun's going to lay down and that will shine onto that darker colour. It'll absorb, and we all know if we've owned a black car versus a white car, it'll absorb that warmth.
Yeah.
But in the summertime, that wall now is not getting the sun.
True.
Because now the sun is high.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So colours, if you can get it to work, you don't want to have a
multicolour rainbow.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But it's
something
certainly
to
something to think about. And it's good cost-effective solution.
Mm-hmm.
So, colours are good.
Yep.
We like to be able to educate our clients around the things that you do have a say on throughout the process and spending the money on the things that will have the greatest impact. One of those things, especially when we're doing renovations, and for example, if we need to pull off an old plastered wall or whatever it is, exposes a original hardwood timber frame, that on the plans and as part of the energy rating or report, there's no insulation specified. So we would always flag that as something to the client. Did you want to consider adding insulation to these walls? The plaster is off. Now is the absolute best time.
Yes.
Would you suggest that that is definitely a way that someone could add significant value in a renovation?
Yes, definitely. And I think always we like to sort of have a pragmatic approach to any sort of project. And it's not sustainability at all cost. But I think definitely if you're exposing an area there that you can quite, because insulation is not dear.
No. That, and subfloor.
Yeah, I think if you didn't offer that or suggest that to the client, you would be providing a disservice.
Yes.
Is that a word, disservice?
Yes, it is. So if we have a look at the Blegowrie House project as well as an example, and we were having a little bit of a chat before we started recording today. So we have subfloor insulation within a steel subfloor frame on the second level of the home. Mm-hmm. The ground level of the home is concrete on earth. So what would you typically be expecting in that environment? Like, what would be the pros and cons of that concrete versus that that frame?
Again, it's another big question.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talked about a concrete slab on ground is dirty,
mm-hmm.
but it does give us a lot of benefits.
Okay.
You look at a timber floor, we're talking about carbon capture now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we're looking at plantation timber, it's building with timber is great. So it's robbing Peter to pay Paul here. We've got something that is good in some areas but not good in others, mm-hmm. or not as good in others. The good thing about concrete slab on ground is it is a heat sink for the home in summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And because of, you know, if you look at the laws of thermodynamics, heat travels towards cold. Even in the wintertime, particularly, you know, up in northeast Victoria when you've got those 0-degree frost mm-hmm. mornings, under the floor, in your timber floor, will be zero. But underneath your slab that's connected to the ground temperature might be about 12 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got that bottom zone that's connected to the ground temperature that's 12, and now your heater will go from 12 degrees up to 23 or 18,
so
whatever
less
it is.
Of difference there.
Whereas the timber floor, it's really, and we've all probably lived in a timber floor home, as soon as you turn the heater off, it gets cold.
Yeah.
Now, of course, insulating and that of stops that a lot of that. And if you look at a lot of the construction methods within Europe and the prefab systems and things like that, timber is great, but it will never give us that heat sink and that thermal mass or that ground temperature boost. And I think in this country where we do have the extremes, I think the slab does tick a lot of
boxes.
Insulating your timber floor, air tightness, you know, you look at some of these genuine passive houses, you know, we're talking about the certified passive house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very efficient homes, and most of them are timber, you know.
Yeah,
so
there you go. I'm curious with a slab on ground. Now, a lot of these slabs now are having hydronic heating within the slab, which is great.
Yep.
But there's the argument around you should always put insulation on the side of the slab because that's where you're going to lose a lot of heat. But the argument is, and I hear you different every time, do we insulate under the slab? Because, as you just said, Earth's already got a core temperature and you want to absorb that. Why would you put a barrier there?
Good question, yeah. I'll give you a job in my office if you like.
Because and Dan's asking this question because you did a certification.
Yeah.
And that's
that
where...
That was a big argument we had in class about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just to illustrate that, waffle pod slabs have polystyrene foam and we get a bit of an R value that we can add to that. Now, in Queensland, in the tropics, if you're building with waffle pod slabs up there, remember, we want heat sinks. We want that slab now to suck the heat out of that zone as much as we can. And if it's insulated, well, then it's going to resist that. Okay, that's what the R value stands for, resistance. So, yes, sometimes it can sort of work against us a little bit. But I think if you're putting in hydronic heating, I think I would take the assumption that you're not in the tropics and that you're in a cold climate.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would answer that question that slab insulation under the slab would actually be the best way forward. Mm. I think our construction code will say you must have at least slab edge.
Yeah. Yep.
I've built a couple of homes myself and we've had in-floor heating. It's the best heat you can possibly get.
So lovely. Would you think that would be that decision or requirement might be influenced by your soil type as well?
No.
Because we're on sand, so yeah, we are. So there's no moisture being held within our...
Great. I think the more moisture that... Anyway, let's not do that subject.
It's a can of worms, right? We could talk for days.
The houses that I've lived in, when I walk around the home in bare feet, and it's just so nice to walk
heaven.
On tiles. Oh, it is. but when you get to the edge of the building, you'll feel the slab is cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And because heat travels towards cold. Okay.
Yep.
So true.
If I have a coffee cup here on the table and it's 60 degrees, it is losing heat to this room because it's not 60 degrees in this room.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a beer here that's nice and cold, it is gaining heat. Okay, so what's happening is once you're heating up the slab, it's being sucked out of your home around the edges, particularly if you've got a floor that is very articulated and courtyards. it's lovely.
Yeah.
So you'll have more loss through that area. And I think that's why, the NCC have said, well, listen, if you're going to put a slab heating, minimum of slab edge insulation, I think in some climate zones you actually even have to put under slab insulation. I think in some of the alpine climate zones.
I noticed that when we step from our mudroom to our garage, there's a step of 150 mil. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's nice polished concrete.
Yep.
I didn't put slab edge there, and that's where you can really feel the difference. But that's aesthetics for just that little spot. So that's interesting.
Yeah, it's and this is why understanding heat flow is just a big part. It's not rocket science. I know we are talking thermodynamics here, but it's a challenge because we don't want boring homes, do we? We don't want homes at a submarine with little portholes, do we?
Yeah, exactly.
So, but it's being balanced and finding the sweet spot and get your thermal comfort assessor involved right at the beginning and, you'll get a far better result. You really will, and it will be cheaper.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
It's the biggest lesson we've learned today.
It is, and that will be something that we'll be implementing into our own process and our own projects going forward. So, Darren, before we let you go, I just wanted to ask, you're very passionate about this industry and this field. What are you doing within your own business to really push this message and walk the talk? Is that the saying, walk the walk?
All right. First thing, we're surrounding ourselves with industry professionals that are also passionate about this. If you look at... Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay, best governor of California. The gentleman had trouble talking English, and being understood. But why was he so successful? He surrounded himself with good people, great people. And really this is where we've tried to position ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that's come from that, we've been not pushed, but we've been encouraged to push ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We've just actually entered in this one example. We've just entered into a competition that Design Matters National have put on, and this is the challenge was, and it's sponsored by or supported by a few others. A Sustainability Victoria, I think, are part of it as well. But it's about building a home that will pay off its carbon debt. So the average home today is around 250 tonnes of carbon will go into a home.
Wow.
And so the challenge was to build a home to reduce that carbon as much as we could. So we'd look at different elements and different things that we could use. We would then measure that. Then we would measure the running cost of that home with the whole of home tool.
Yeah.
It then spits out a yearly score, carbon score. Then we work out how long does it take for that home, so earn more to pay back our debt, our carbon debt. The challenge was, first of all, reduce that as much as we can. And that's a challenge because the industry is still learning and the suppliers are still, look at concrete, it's still dirty. Although some wonderful things that are happening with iron ore so we measure it. And then we pay it off. And the challenge was to pay it off by 2040, I think, was the... So early days yet, we've entered into this competition. But that was... I learned so much from that.
I bet.
And And this comes from surrounding yourselves with other people and being part of organisations that are proactive in this area.
Yes, proactive, not reactive.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't know how we'll go. I think there was about 17 entries. But listen, if I win, guys, can I come back and share it?
Of course, absolutely.
That's great.
Good luck. That's so exciting. Darren, that was blooming amazing. Yeah. I love speaking
experts. Yeah. Good on you.
Well, I love speaking to experts within these fields that, you know, I'm slowly learning more and more about, and we're being forced to learn more and more about as well as we take these steps to be better in terms of efficiency and our sustainability and our footprint in general. So thank you again for joining us today.
You're welcome,
that was
guys.
Amazing.
Thanks, Darren.
All right, Dan, so let's visit our fun little topic of house to home, and I guess have a conversation about the thing in the home that makes the house a home for us. And given this episode has been so geared towards sustainability, I'm going to go first.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, when I open the app on my phone that tells me how much energy I'm using and what the home's consumption is and what my solar panels are covering in terms of energy usage, I'm going to say my solar panels.
The solar panels.
100%. There is nothing more satisfying than opening that up and seeing that my solar panels are generating enough energy to cover my home's consumption at any given time.
Nice. That's a good one, actually.
Yeah.
For me, I'm going to have to go the Element windows.
Yes.
They are incredible. We've got so many of them. Mm. But double glazing, yes, that's a must. But to have thermally broken frames, that is massive. And you can touch those frames and it's not cold in winter.
Yeah.
So it was worth spending the extra money to do that.
And that was very interesting with what Darren said about, you know, PVC and timber don't really conduct to the heat in that way. But it's so true. Touching the outside of those alley windows, when you are outside in the sun, it is hot.
Yeah.
Inside, it's not.
Yeah.
Because we have the thermal break.
Yeah.
Dan, that was absolutely phenomenal.
I learned so much. And the biggest one was we're building to a minimum star rating. Which is what Australian standards are in the building industry. And I always say it's only the minimum standard.
And it's because we're reverse engineering the process.
Mm.
We should be having that conversation about what your site can give you for free.
Yeah.
And then commencing the process.
Makes so much sense when you hear it.
My gosh, how dumb are we?
Yeah.
Well, that means what the next series of all manner of things is going to be about, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. That was a truly, truly insightful conversation we've had with Darren. If you've missed anything at all from the pod, you can binge the whole series right now. You can also binge the web series. The links are in the show notes, so make sure you catch yourself up. I'm so excited for the next episode. We have got the wonderful Danielle from Lights, Lights, Lights joining us. And you know what happens when you put two Italians, Geminis called Danielle, in a room together, Dan?
Can't wait for that.
We just talk all day.
Before then, guys, please like, share, subscribe, do all of that. We love it. The algorithm loves it.
Yep.
Help us out.
Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.